All right, let's begin this morning by opening the Word of God in Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, just to orient us to where we are and what we're doing. Hebrews, chapter 12. Ed, you just made it. Hebrews, chapter 12. Philip just made it under the wire, so you two guys just made it. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, the purpose of the prayer is not just a ritualistic prayer. It's a very important prayer that you test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. Without it, Heavenly Father, we would be totally lost. But your word is the power of salvation. It is the power that goes into our soul. It is the power that lights our path. But Father, we pray this morning your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, things you'd have us to understand in your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are on a journey. Starting from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that is all of the witnesses listed in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the great heroes chapter of the Bible. It goes through the Old Testament, picking out some of the great heroes of faith. So we have all of these around us. Let us also, the word also means they did it in their time. Let us do it in the church age. Let us do it in our time. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. And that's what we're in the midst of studying, but let's finish the verse. And sin, we'll come to that, which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The writer of Hebrews here looks at the Christian life as a race. However, Paul often talks about the walk. We walk by faith. So we have to understand there are different analogies in understanding the Christian life. But here it's a race, and it's a beautiful imagery because if you hear anything about running, you can't have a lot of weight on. Now, when you're practicing, you put weights on your ankles. Some runners do that. Put a weight pack on your back with rocks in it, different types of things. But when you get ready to run, you take it all off. Take off your warm-ups. Take off all this. Get yourself completely as light as you can so that you're able to run the race. Well, what he's saying now is there's a lot of baggage that we pick up in life that encumbers our running. And we don't need that baggage. It's like trying to run with ankle braces, knee braces, back packs, and all the rest of it. And we pick up this baggage. And we've been studying a lot of the baggage that we pick up. And then we'll come to sin. But right now, we're not in sin. We're just in baggage that people pick up. They're so busy in their life. We'll be looking at that in a few moments in our 10:30 study about living a quiet life. But they're just baggage that we pick up along the way. We pick up guilt. We pick up this. We pick up discouragement. We pick up distractions. We pick up a lot of things that just get in the way. Now, I really appreciate and am thankful for what the Holy Spirit is doing in regard to our studies right now. On Wednesday night, we're studying. We studied Jesus Christ in the upper room. Then we studied Jesus Christ's great prayer in John 17, the Lord's Prayer. And then we studied the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony there, his six trials, crucifixion. And now we're looking at between death and burial. And while it's taken us a long time to get through death and burial, we have a lot of things we need to look at. We've looked at Joseph of Arimathea, who was a Sanhedrin, a secret believer in Jesus. But he finally gathered up the courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Something you don't think about. What would happen to his body after his death? If nobody claimed it, he would have been thrown into Potter's Field with the other criminals, the derelicts of life. But Joseph of Arimathea was a very wealthy man, and he had a tomb already carved out for him. I don't know if that gives us an idea of his age. But anyway, he went and asked Pilate. Then we had to study Pilate. And now we're looking at another man who came and helped Joseph take down the body and bury it, and that is Nicodemus. So we're looking at Nicodemus now. And then on the 10:30 study on Sunday, we're looking at prophecy, how to live in preparation for the rapture. Unfortunately, most of us live, well, I'm going to die, and I got to make arrangements to die, and one day I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Don't do that. Live each day. I could meet the Lord in the air today. The rapture could occur today. Don't worry about when you die. Think about, I could meet the Lord in the air today. And that's what we're studying in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, how to live in anticipation of the rapture. And then this morning, we're looking at our journey in life, how to live each day preparing for the rapture. And what happens is we get so busy, we pick up so much soul baggage, so much intrusion, and it interferes with our growing in the Word of God, growing in the knowledge of Christ, growing in spiritual love, being a witness for Christ. It gets in the way, and we don't want that. So we're looking at what to do with this baggage. You can either deny that you have it or live with it in a bottle or drugs, or you can just go into denial about it, or you can go to human help, psychiatry, psychoheresy, all these other things, or you can do it God's way. How do you lay aside this baggage? And that took us to 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you'll go continue toward the back of your Bible, you come to James and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now what we're doing, we're looking at life as running a race, and we've combined with that the importance of spiritual love, of loving one another as Christ loves us. That's how we're to live our life in preparation for the rapture. So at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 is our verse giving us a clue how to lay aside this baggage. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And we spent time on that. That took us to a beautiful psalm, Psalm 55. Psalm 55. So let's look at Psalm 55. This is where we left off last week. Psalm 55. And we're studying Psalm 55, verse 22. Similar to 1 Peter, but a little different. And we got some richness in this psalm. So Psalm 55, verse 22. Verse 22. Well, wait a minute. Oh, I'm in Isaiah. No wonder. It's not in Isaiah. It's in Psalm. Psalm 55. All right. Okay, Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden. Now, that would be equivalent to the baggage. That's equivalent to the things that are encumbrance. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Now, this comes with some added information. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And that's where we left off. He will sustain you. In 1 Peter, he cares for you. Here he will sustain you. Now, if you go to the Lord, a lot of people run to people. And the Bible says, cursed is man who trusteth in man. And let me tell you something. Most people, while they'll love you, they'll care and all, they can't do anything about it. They can't do a thing about it. A lot of people, one of the most notorious counselors in American history is the bartender. Because he will listen to all your trouble. Why? Because he wants you to buy more booze. But he'll stand there at the bar and he'll listen. And what he will give you is more booze. With the idea, you take more booze, it takes care of what's the inner hurt. So people like to go to the bartender and, you know, lay it out all on him. And there's nothing he can do about it. Not a thing he can do about it. But they like to do that. So here we're going to somebody who loves you, somebody who understands, and somebody who can do something about it. So first, he will sustain you. One of the fears of bringing up baggage, that we studied the importance of acknowledging that you have baggage. And a lot of people will not acknowledge it because they will have to face the fact, I'm weak. I'm weak that I have that baggage. So they don't like to do that. But he will sustain you. And so you bring it up and you cast it on him because he's going to do something about it. And it says here, he will sustain you. He will give you relief. When you cast things on the Lord, he will give you relief from them. And then it says, he will supply you with the substance you need for nourishment. For nourishment. Just staying with that silly example I just used, the bartender will give you a drink. And that's supposed to help you. The Lord will give you something for your soul. Something that will sustain you in your soul. He gives you the nourishment by the Holy Spirit who is in you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, having at some point put faith in Jesus Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. At that point, 34 wonderful things happened to you. One of those things was you were indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. So he will sustain you. Then, if you've been smart enough and wise enough to go to church and learn some of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will use that doctrine in your soul to sustain you. So he sustains you. Now, the word means to sustain. It means to contain. And this is very important in making it through these things. This is very important in running the race. This is very important in loving one another and receiving the love of Jesus Christ. One thing about this verb, he will sustain you. Not trying to impress you, not trying to bore you, trying to enlighten you. In the Hebrew, there are about over 10 different verbal stems. It's an exciting language. One of those is the pilpal, P-I-L-P-A-L. The pilpal. That doesn't mean a thing to you, and that's okay. I'm going to tell you what it means, though. When the pilpal is used, it denotes rapidly repeating movement. That's when the pilpal is used. Rapidly repeating movement. Well, why is that here? Why is the author here using the pilpal in this case? Let me tell you why. In life, one day you go into your own closet, as it were, and you cast your care, your burden on the Lord. You put it before him. But there's one thing we all have. In our soul, we have a memory center. And it'll keep coming up. It'll keep coming up. That baggage will keep coming up. It will just raise its ugly head, especially at the most inopportune times. Well, the pilpal says, every time it comes up, he's there to sustain. It keeps coming up, he keeps sustaining. He keeps taking care of you. That's what it means. Christ is right there, ready to sustain, to nourish, to give relief to your soul the moment it comes up in your memory center. And so we build up this baggage. Discouragement, disillusionment. All the things that we studied. I think we studied some 15 of them, of categories of baggage. They're going to come up. Don't worry about that. Well, I keep putting it before him, but it keeps coming up. I cast it, but I keep picking it back up. I take off the weight, and then I put it back on. That's okay. That's okay. The moment you put it back on, turn it, take it back off. Just take it right back off and give it over to the Lord. He is there. The pilpal says, as fast as this baggage comes upon you in your memory center, he keeps knocking it down. He keeps sustaining you. If you will take it off and trust him, he will sustain you. The pilpal keeps you free. Keeps you free of this baggage that's in our soul that we've accumulated in life. Now, we haven't come to sin yet. We all have sin, But this isn't even really sin. This is just baggage that we picked up in our soul. Discouragement, disillusionment, inadequacy. All of these kinds of problems. This is baggage. It's in our soul. And the Lord knows it. And He cares. He wants you to move on and be a witness for Him. Anticipate seeing His Son in the air, the Lord in the air. So He's developed this very procedure to take care of these things. And so what this pill pile does, freedom, 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 freedom. Because people, you're going to keep picking it up. Don't be alarmed by that. A lot of people, well, I keep turning it over and I keep putting it back on, so what's the use? You're going to. You're going to. We have a memory center. And that memory center is going to bring up all that garbage, all that baggage. So you just keep taking it off every time it comes up and just smile. Well, Lord, here we go again. Here we go. We just did this morning, but we're going to do it again. We're going to take off this weight and put it back on you all day long. So how does the Lord do this? How does He sustain? First of all, the filling of the Holy Spirit in the soul. People, this is why it is so important to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Now, a lot of preachers will talk about filling of the Holy Spirit. A lot of them maybe even will talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I know I have the Holy Spirit in me. I understand that. But how do you get Him back into control of your life? By faith. Just as we trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, we trust the Holy Spirit for spirituality. Verse 22 again, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. Now, I like the next phrase in Psalm 55, 22. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, that word allow, means to give over. When you depend on Him, truly depend on Him, rely on Him, He will not give you over to that burden. This is a wonderful stability of His love, of His plan, and running the race, and loving as He loved, being loved by Him. A lot of Christians have trouble receiving the love of Christ. I don't really deserve it. I'm not like that person over there. I'm not like this person here, and all the rest of it. Yes, you are. You're in Christ. There is no one more important than you in Christ. In Christ, we're all the same. Yeah, but I have all this baggage, and then when we come to it, I have all this sin. I've done all these things. Doesn't work with the Lord. Doesn't work with the Lord. The Lord isn't going to be like that. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He will not allow you to be turned over. He will not allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, the word righteous, this is a reference to the believer who relies on Him. Now, remember two things about righteousness. The point that we believe in Christ as Savior, one of the 34 things that happens is you are imputed God's righteousness. That is our state before God. Whenever God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of His Son. And that's all. That's it. Now, there is an experiential righteousness, how we live our life. Now, you can lose that righteousness and then regain it. Lose it, regain it. Now, the righteous here is the righteous person who constantly goes back in faith to God. People, let me give you some examples. Adam and Eve. We studied this 2 weeks ago. Or we didn't study, but we read it. When Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, what did they do? They ran from the Lord. They were ashamed. What did Cain do after he murdered his brother Abel? The scriptures, he went away from the Lord. People, do not follow Adam and Eve and Cain. If I had to pick somebody in the Bible, be like David. He's got many psalms in the Bible. Okay, God, I goofed again. Now, he has a stronger word than goofed. I sinned again. I really messed up again. And I come back to You. That is why David is a man after God's own heart. Not because he was without sin. Not because he was without baggage, but because he always came back to the Lord. He always ran back to the Lord. And many psalms are written with that motif, that I sin, I come back to you, and I praise you and I thank you that you are forgiving and that you sustain. So be like David. Don't come down hard on yourself. Don't come down, start judging yourself. I'm not worthy of his love. I'm not worthy to be used by God. It's amazing the number of people that don't even think they're capable of being used by God. People, we can all be used by God. If you're alive and you're a believer in Christ, he can use you. Now, he can use you as a bad example, or he can use you as a wonderful example, but we're all going to be used by God. So what you want to do is be righteous. Now, how are you righteous as a believer? Filling of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. By faith, we live a righteous life. Faith in the Holy Spirit, we receive a righteous life. So our passage, just so you'll understand it, he will not allow the righteous to be shaken. Well, we know it doesn't mean believer, because many believers are shaken. So what does it mean by righteous? It means a believer who goes back to the filling of the Holy Spirit and has righteousness in his life. This is a believer who relies on him. Isn't it beautiful? In dealing with sin, we deal with sin, we go right back to him. He's the most marvelous God. Most marvelous God. I'll tell you something. I was fortunate enough as a little boy. I learned this from my mother. I was not good. I was always in trouble. I mean, the church would call her, well, he's up in the rafters. Well, he's in the baptistry. Well, he's running around here. He's doing that. He's doing this. All kinds of things. And just bad things all the time. But I'll tell you what, every evening, the warm meal was there and the love was there. It was always there. So it's not hard for me to understand how God can do this. No matter how bad we may be, no matter what sin we may commit. What is your view of God? Is your view of God that he's up there keeping score with a big club and he's going to clobber you every time you get out of line? Or is he a God up there with his arms open with spiritual love ready to give, divine love? So this is the issue we have to decide. So we carry this baggage and it keeps coming up. We keep giving it back to him. So this is, it's a matter being righteous, we got our part. And our part is simple. Our part is faith. But it's amazing how believers don't want to do that. Let me give you another example. Look at Isaiah 26. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Isaiah 26. I got an email, and I think it's from Phyllis, as a matter of fact. And it said the church meeting in 2018, and it'll all be electronic, and you'll have a deal for your offerings where you slide your card or PIN numbers and all this, and you can get the sermon online, you can get everything online, you're dismissed, goodbye. I mean, it was really weird, and I told her, I'm glad I won't be here. But anyway, Isaiah 26, now let's look at verse 3. The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. Now, Brian, I prefer the King James here. It's the way I learned it as a boy, and I love it. The King James says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Now, we're not able to study this, but I just want to point out some things. People, we have to do our part. And the only thing God responds to is our faith. So, let's stay with the King James. The NASB has it in the right order. The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace, giving our part first, and how God responds to it. But the King James says, you will keep him in perfect peace. That's inner peace. That's in spite of all that baggage. That's in spite of sin. You will keep in perfect peace, but look, whose mind is stayed on thee. How do you keep your mind stayed on thee? The more of the Word of God you know, it's easier to do. If you don't know much about a person, you can't get very far in your thoughts. But the more you learn about Him in the study of His Word, taking in the Word of God, you've got more to think about and understand about Him. And then it says, because He trusts in you. That's our part. He will give you perfect peace, but our part is to trust in Him. And verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. Now, what does that word forever mean? Let me tell you what that means. That means over and over and over. That means 100 times a day. That means every day, all day long. You keep trusting forever. Whenever that memory center brings up the baggage, boom, you're back to trusting Him. Boom, you're back to trusting Him. That's what the word forever means. It's a very important word. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Okay, now let's go back to Psalm 55. Go back to Psalm 55 now. All right, Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, to be shaken. Now, this is what all that baggage will do to your soul, to your life. Shaken. A result of the circumstances in life. The result of carrying this baggage that you've accumulated over the years. I don't know the last time you tried. Go through an airport. You got baggage. Now, it's taken me 73 years to learn you don't need 4 suitcases. But John Hinch used to laugh at me when I'd go there to a conference. I had 2 big hang-up boxes, and I'd have 2 or 3 carry-on suitcases. And he and Judy just looked at each other. What's he doing? And even when I went with Dan Hill and Pat to Africa to teach pastors about studying the Word of God there, Dan just laughed. He loved to see me in the airport. I got all my baggage, and I got to get to that terminal over there, and don't bother me. It was just, I'm gone. I mean, I am gone. He said, they stood back when I just watched. How far would it get before it realizes we're not there? I never realized it till I got to that place. Don't bother me. Baggage. It's tough to carry baggage. You don't get to social. You don't get to stop and eat and talk to people. You got all that baggage. You got to carry. Get rid of it. Get rid of the baggage. Now I've learned the art. One bag. That's all I need. That's all I need. 1 week, one bag. 2 weeks, maybe 2 bags. But that's it. But we've got to learn to get rid of baggage in the soul. So it says, He will not allow the righteous to be shaken. A result of the circumstances of life. A result of all of this baggage. Now the Hebrew word here describes what happens in your soul when you carry garbage or baggage in the soul. People, we ain't even gotten to sin. Where do we come to the sin that entangles you? We're just talking about baggage we pick up along the way. All right, it causes us to be shaken, to slip, to slip back into conditions, shaken about the circumstances. You totter under the soul weight of this baggage. That's what happens. You totter. Carrying it. You totter. You're trying to carry all that baggage and yet walk. Now, the Hebrew word here describes what happens in the soul. When you carry baggage, when you go through circumstances that can lead to baggage in the soul, you don't know what to do with all of these encounters. You don't know what to do with the baggage, and we're going to get ready to cover that this morning. But the Lord will not allow the soul to be shaken. Now, I'll tell you what else the word means. And this threw me. I'm looking in a Hebrew lexicon, Hebrew dictionary, and this threw me. It means to dwindle. Dwindle. I went, huh? You know, maybe it's one of those words, because there are words in both Greek and Hebrew, have different entire meanings depending on the circumstances. Well, I just thought about this for a little while. And let me tell you what happens. Some people carry enough baggage, their view of themselves dwindles. Their view of themselves dwindle. I don't have the right to serve the Lord. I don't have the right to be a witness for Christ. I don't have the place. He can't really use me. We dwindle in our attitude about ourselves. It dwindles away as you carry all this baggage. Just what happens? You no longer think much of yourself. And so this will not be allowed if you walk in the filling of the Spirit by the Lord. The person with baggage in the soul soon assumes their own unimportance. Their own unimportance to God. Their unimportance to Christ. Their unimportance to others in life. I'm just not worth too much. I'm not very important. So it really doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't really matter where I am, how I act, how I talk. It just doesn't matter. I'm just not worth too much anyway. So nobody's going to care. So I start living a total life that is totally contrary to the life of a Christian. You're still saved. Still saved. But you're so unimportant now. You carried all this baggage. I just don't matter to him anymore. Don't matter to anybody. I'm not good for my wife. Not good for my family. Not good for my friends. Not good at work. So you lose that job. You get another job. Lose that job. Get another job. Just not important. People, Christ will not allow that to happen. If you cast your cares on him, he will not allow it. And as I said, it may be an all-day thing. You may put the baggage down and pick it right back up. You may put the baggage down, pick it right back up. But put it down, let him take care of it. So, the person who carries this will become weak. Weak in life. People, God doesn't want you to be weak. He wants you to be strong. So the word means to be shaken. It means to be weakened in the soul. You cannot, and let me tell you what happens when you're in this condition. You cannot learn the Word of God. You're too shaken. You're low estimation of yourself. You cannot love. You cannot receive His love. He loves you, but you can't receive it. It's a shame when people reach that point in life where they cannot receive somebody's love. Take a child that's been abused. They reach a point where they don't trust anyone. Somebody comes along that really would care and love them. They don't care. They cannot receive love. But they cannot love either. They cannot love. They cannot be loved. When you carry all this baggage and refuse to give it to the Lord. So this is what happens. You become weak in your life, in your soul. So you cannot love. You cannot run the race. You cannot run the race. It just isn't in you. Get down. I ran track in junior high and high school. Get down on all fours. Get down on the block and do all of this stuff. Coach, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. And then what happens? I don't feel like going to practice. I don't want to work out. I don't want to practice all week. So you miss that. Now that drive is gone. And pretty soon you just, all your energy, all your self-understanding is gone. And this is what happens in the Christian life. People that will not put this baggage on the Lord. And the church is filled with those kind of people in today's America. Unfortunately, America's system is so radical, it just demands that we be busy, that we do this, we do that, we look a certain way, we act a certain way, on and on and on. I feel so sorry for young girls. You've got to look just this way. You've got to act just this way. Young guys, you got to be cool. You got to drive a hot car. You got to do this. You got to do that. What a shame. And we allow the world to do that, and we don't measure up. And the more you don't measure up, the more you're out. And the more you're out, you take it over to your relationship with the Lord, and pretty soon you can't even grow in the Word. You're so discouraged, disillusioned about yourself. So, here's Christ, your Savior. And according to John 15, your friend. He desires for you to run the race. He desires for you not to be shaken, not to be weakened, to be strong in the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will not turn over the righteous to be shaken or weakened. I want to use both those words because that's what the Hebrew word means. It does mean to be shaken, but it also means to be weakened. And so we're going to use both words. Now, let's get the process down in four quick steps. One, off you. Off you. Get the baggage off you. Two, on him. On him. Three, he cares. Four, he sustains. Off you, on him, he cares, he sustains. And if you don't like 4 points, you're in seminary, and everything is best in 3 points. Point one, off you. Point two, on him. Point three, he sustains. It's that simple. Okay. What we're going to do now is, I know it takes a few minutes, I wish I had this on the overhead, you wouldn't have to spend the time. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Just bear with me a few minutes. Hebrews 12:1. Lay aside every encumbrance off you. Lay it aside. Now, with that in mind, turn to 1 Peter. Just a few pages on down toward the back. 1 Peter 5:7. Want you to see how these verses go together. On your own home time, when you're opening the Bible and study and read the Bible, then these are the kinds of things you can do in your own privacy. So, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your baggage on him, because he cares for you, and he can do something about it. Now let's look at Psalm 55:22. If I had an overhead, I'd have all three of these right up here together so you see why I'm doing this. Each one gives us a little more information. Psalm 55. In the next hour, we're going to study living a quiet life. What happens today is Christians, we're too busy. I live on the edge. I got too much to do. I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for Bible reading on my own. I don't have time to help lift the burden of some other believer. I don't have time to encourage somebody. I don't have time to comfort somebody. I'm too busy. Well, people, you're too busy. You need to live a quiet life. And we'll study that. Note it in the next hour. All right, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Hebrews 12:1, lay every encumbrance off you. 1 Peter, casting all your cares or baggage on him. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord. Now why? Because he will sustain you. Peter said, because he cares for you. The psalmist in Psalm 55, because he cares for you. He will sustain you. He will not turn you over to weakness that the baggage creates. Off you, on him, he cares. He sustains. Now, how? How do we take these encumbrances, all these cares, these anxieties, these burdens, and cast them aside? How do we do that? Okay, let's go through some points. Point one. Now, you understand the analogy, I hope. If you have any idea about running track, you'll see them warm up in their warm-ups. Generally pretty heavy clothing. And they warm up, run around the track, do calisthenics, stretch, all this. But when it's time, they take it all off. That's what we're looking at. Taking off this encumbrance. Not going to run with that sweatsuit on. Boy, you'd be beaten so pitifully, it's unbelievable. You might get beaten anyway, but it would be really pitiful if you tried it with this sweatsuit on. So you take it off. Take off the pants. Get down on the marker. Already. So this is what we're looking at. How do you do this spiritually? How do you take off these things? Now, point one. The baggage that we're talking about may not be sin. Now, next thing we'll see, probably next week, the sin that entangles you. So we'll look at the sin that entangles you. And people, don't be arrogant. We all have a sin that entangles us. Sometimes it's more visible. Others, it's more invisible. But it's just the same. But here we're dealing with baggage that may not be sin. But I want to tell you something. You're going to take care of it just as you would sin. So we're going to go back over this when we come to how do you lay aside the sin that entangles you. So we'll be doing this again. So right now we're looking at this baggage, but we're also going to be looking at what we're doing with sin. We take care of it the same way. Point two, the first thing. First thing, acknowledgement. Some people like the word confession. We spend time here. We spend time here noting how people deny. 1 John 1:8, they deceive themselves, even about the baggage in their soul. They're too afraid to acknowledge it. I'm a man. I don't have any baggage. I don't have any problems with discouragement, disillusionment, all these things you've been talking about. I'm a man. Yes, we do. And the most important thing is to have the courage to acknowledge it. Now, let me tell you right now, acknowledgement does not solve the problem. I'm going to take you to an AA meeting. What's the first thing they got to do? I'm an alcoholic. That's very important. I used to, years ago, make fun of that. But that's very important. That's the beginning step. As long as you're in denial, you're never going to recover. You're never going to make it. Now, they stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. They're not recovered. That didn't take care of it. That's the first step. If you're in denial, stop denying. Acknowledge that you have the baggage. You picked it up along the way. I don't like it. It's there. Now, point three. Psychologists, psychiatrists, all these try to use this acknowledgement to your detriment. They should, well, see, this is how weak you are. This is how bad you are. It's the way a lot of religion is. A lot of Christians will use it that way. They will use it to point out how weak you are. Now, when we add sin, it's going to become even a bigger problem. But here we're dealing with acknowledgement. So you take sin. We know that it is wrong. We know it violated our relationship with God. We know that sin reveals our true self nature. And that's why it's ugly to look at. Why do a lot of people have trouble acknowledging they're alcoholics, men and women? Because that means I'm weak. I had to depend on alcohol. And I can't admit that. I cannot admit that I got to have a drink. I cannot admit that I have to have drugs. I cannot admit that I love porno. I'm not going to do that. I can stop anytime I want. I'm not an alcoholic. I can stop. I'm not a druggie. I can stop. I'm not a porno. I can stop. I just don't want to. No, you can't. And you're in denial. And as long as you're in denial, it isn't going to work. So the first thing you do is, I am an alcoholic. I have this baggage. Now, the good thing here is, we don't have you come up here and stand up in front of the church. And I'm so thankful that we don't do that kind of sense. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to anybody like this. You go straight topside. Straight topside. I love the joke. And I am filled with the Spirit, so I don't know why it came to mind. But I love the joke that the lady of the night who had taken care of several men in the church got up and started to make confession. All the men got up and walked out of the church, out the doors, out the windows, out everything. They got out of there. So what I'm saying is we don't have to do all this public stuff. Go topside. It's between you and your Savior, you and God the Father. So you have these things. You don't hide it in your soul. See, this is what we have a problem. You can either repress it, push it down in your soul, in denial, and it's there. And it's going to come up all the time. Or you can get it out and lay it before the Lord and get ready for the next step. So God in His grace and love has designed what I call a grace recovery. A grace recovery here for baggage. Next week, for sin. But for whatever it is, sin or baggage, He has given us a grace recovery. I think one of the most wonderful things in my personal childhood was when I realized that I didn't have to hide bad things I did. that I could come home and tell my mom. I could tell her. And I was still fed that night, still loved that night, still taken care of. Now, I may have to have had discipline, a lot of it. Probably deserved it. But I didn't have to be afraid to hide it. I didn't have to be afraid to come home and tell her. She never just broke down and that's it, get out of here. She never used the silent treatment. I know a mother that uses silent treatment on her kids for about a week. I don't tell mom, she won't talk to us for a week. That's a shame. That's a shame. What's your view of God? You lay it before him, people. He isn't going to react. He knew about it in eternity past, and he definitely knew about it when his son went to the cross and bore all of this stuff. So he knew all about it. Don't be afraid. And it was just so wonderful when I realized that. In fact, and I really mean, I think it gave me a little relaxedness of not being all that good. I could be a little bad. Mom's going to be okay. Hey? Now, I hope I grew out of that before I became a teenager. But I realized, and it was such a wonderful blessing to know that I didn't have to hide things from her. It's hell when you go to bed at night and you've hidden things from your mother. Hidden things and not telling her. And you sat there and ate and talked with them. It's terrible. But it's so wonderful to be able to go to bed and know, okay, I got disciplined. Big deal. I deserved it. But I understand her love. She knows what I did. She still loves. Now, the same thing works in our relationship with God. If this is true of a human, how much more of God? If a member of the human race can be like this, how much more our Heavenly Father? Okay, next, four. Okay, you got the baggage. You've acknowledged you got the baggage. You've laid it out. Now, you simply trust Him. Faith. Faith is our part. It's not the confession. It's the faith part. It's not that we acknowledge it. It's that we trust Him now. That is the great issue. It's our trusting Him. Our faith takes care of the problem. Let out, confess, and then I trust your spirit. I trust your spirit. And at that point, people, the Lord starts causing you not to be shaken. The Lord starts you not be weakened. The Lord starts nourishing you with the Holy Spirit. You're trusting the Spirit. The Spirit's working in you. And now you start feeling, sensing these wonderful things that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. These things that He does to cause us not to be shaken, not to be weakened, but we're able to run the race. I am adequate before Him in Christ. My adequacy isn't depending on me. He has made me adequate. My adequacy was by Him, not me anyway. And that's a wonderful thing. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on Him and being in His Spirit. So this baggage, which is a real mess, is now no longer a mess. It no longer encumbers us in the soul. And this is where the battle is fought. The battle is a battle in the soul. So you acknowledge the terrible thing. You trust Him. That's the step. Faith. You must believe in the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit so He can do His work. What's His work? Sustaining you. What's His work? Nourishing you. What's His work? Guiding you. What's His work? Giving you peace. Giving you that peace of Isaiah 26. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. See, that's the peace part. All of these things baggage we build up, and when we come to sin that's there, He gives us peace through the power of His Holy Spirit. So it's the act of faith. It's the act of faith. We've laid our cares on Him, and we trust Him, and that is the act that is going to cause us to be able to be sustained by the Lord. It demands faith to cast your cares, your anxieties on Him, and trust Him that He will cause you not to be shaken. He cares for you. This is very important to remember. He cares for me. People, He died on the cross when we were his enemies. That's how much he loved us. We were his enemies. Now that you are in Christ, he cares for you in Christ. And anything that you do is not going to cut off his love. His love is unconditional. Now, whether or not you're a recipient of it, faith. You may not be a recipient of it. See, you run away. You're like Adam and Eve. You're like Cain. You're like a lot of people. They run away from it. You run away from your mom. You run away from your dad. You run away from home. They love you, but you're not benefited by it. You're out in the tule somewhere. See? You're not with them, so you're not benefited. We want to be benefited by his love. That's a shame. To have the love of Christ, the love of God, and not be benefited by it. You want your life to be benefited so that you can run the race, so that you can receive his love, so that you can love as he loved, so that you can live each moment in anxious anticipation of meeting the Lord in the air. That's where we want to be in that respect. So we want to be able to receive his love. We want to be able to love others as he loved us. This is where we want to be in living our life in this respect. Now, in the next hour, in the 10:30, we're going to go through how we ought to live in anticipation of the rapture, in anticipation, getting ready for the rapture, meeting the Lord in the air. And so we're going to spend 2 Sundays on chapter 4. We spent 2 Sundays on chapter 1, 1 Sunday on chapter 3, 2, 1 Sunday on chapter 3. We're going to spend 2 Sundays on chapter 4 because the first half is going to deal with how we live day in and day out. The Bible's not negligent in that area. It deals with all the big things, learning the Word, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, walking in the power of the Spirit. But it's not negligible in the fact that we have to live each day. We have bills to pay. We have people to put up with, people to deal with, all these kind of things that we have to do. And he knows that, and he makes preparation for us. So we will start here next Sunday and get into the sin factor. Let's close in a word of prayer. What we've learned about Heavenly Father, we've learned about you. What kind of God you are. What a magnificent God you are. We've learned how magnificent your Son is. We've heard, Heavenly Father, we do not need to run from you, but run to you. With our baggage, with our sins, with our lives. What an awesome God you are. What an awesome Son you have. Father, we thank you so much for your Word that reveals these truths to us. Father, I pray your Spirit will use what we studied this morning to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.